Genesis 49, please. We continue our study on the blessings of the sons of Jacob. And we have seen that Jacob's words to each of these sons represents a chapter in Jewish history. Verses 17 and 18. Genesis 49. Well, we may start at 16. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent, by the way, an adder. That's a serpent too, in the path, that biteth the horse's heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. And we saw, I think it was a week last Wednesday, that Dan represents the Antichrist. Now, I'm not telling you how I know that. I suggest that you study. How do I know that Dan represents him? The religious Antichrist, who will build a statue, an idol, to the political Antichrist and require everybody to worship that Antichrist. And if you refuse to do so, you may be killed. Surely you won't be able to do any business at all. We mentioned the tribulation. There's a lot to the tribulation period. We may get to that at a future time. Or our brother Fleest is taking us through the book of the Revelation. He may get to the tribulation. Interesting time. But Dan represents the religious leader in the time of the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, the time which our Lord has said there will be trouble as there never was on this earth. Then we come to verse 18. And that's the one we want to consider today. Here they are in tribulation. And we read, there will be those who will say, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. What is the meaning of that? The end of the tribulation period, and there are those who have not bowed to the Antichrist, to the idol. And these are going to say, I have waited for thy salvation. What are they waiting for? Let's try to find out what these people are waiting for. And some are still waiting for the same thing. Matthew 19 and verse 28. We want to find, what are these believers waiting for at the end or during the tribulation period? Matthew 19. Now, I'm not going to make any excuse, because I can't do it any other way. But we're going to turn to a lot of scriptures. I can't do it any other way. You cannot prove a particular truth from just one scripture. And I like to turn to as many scriptures on a particular subject as I can find. Matthew 19, please. What are they waiting for? What are they looking forward to? Matthew 19, verse 28. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you shall sit upon 12 thrones. In the regeneration. What is that? Let's look at another scripture. Acts chapter 1. What are these people going to be looking for? As a matter of fact, Israel has been looking for this throughout their history. Acts chapter 1. Verse verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? That's what they're looking for. The kingdom that God is going to set up where the Lord will be the ruler. That's what they were looking for. Chapter 3, please. We better start from verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The times of refreshing, that's what they're looking for. And he shall send Jesus, which was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. That's what they're looking for. And these are all synonyms that we are reading. Revelation chapter 11. What are they looking for? What were they looking forward to then? And what are the Jews blindly looking forward to even now? Revelation 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded. There were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever. That's what they're looking for. And that's what the Jews want. Now there is a name for that time. Revelation chapter 20. There is a name for that time. Verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him how long? 1,000 years. Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him how long? Now that 1,000 years that the Jews have been looking forward to even before the time of Christ is referred to and is called the millennium. Now there are some who object to that term because the word millennium is not in the Bible. I'll tell you another word that's not in the Bible. Gamble. Nowhere in the Bible will you read thou shalt not gamble. Now, I ask you, does God condone gambling? But he doesn't say don't gamble. How do you know that God objects to gambling? And it's the same way with this word millennium. It may not be in the Bible in so many words, but the thought is there. What does millennium mean? Those of you who have studied Latin, you know. Millennium means 1,000. Annum means a year. And when you put the two together in a contraction, you get millennium, 1,000 years. Instead of saying 1,000 years, we say millennium. And that is the subject I want to look at for a little while. The millennium, this time of peace and the rule of Christ, has been foretold and prophesied many times in the Old Testament. That's how those disciples were able to ask, are you going to set up your kingdom now? They knew that the kingdom was coming. They knew that the Lord Jesus was going to reign. Now let's look at a few scriptures. Genesis chapter 12, please. That indicate that God has promised his people a time in the future when he would rule on this earth and they would rule with him and under him. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said, now we've noted this before, every word in the Bible is important. Now some of the contemporary translations read, now the Lord said, but if you leave out the had, you miss the important point, which I'm not going to discuss now. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, make thy name great, thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The blessing of all the families of the earth has been fulfilled in part. We are part of that family, but there are a lot that are not. Here it says, all families of the earth shall be blessed. And they're looking forward to the time when all of the families on the earth will be blessed. Oh, let me. Deuteronomy chapter 28, please. I have about 25 scriptures here. We're not going to turn to all 25. Deuteronomy 28. Verse 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Hasn't happened yet, has it? Do you think it's going to happen? Sure it's going to happen. And this is what the Jews of that time and many today are looking forward to. The millennium. Now let's look at this millennium. Psalm 47. I told you we'd have to turn to a lot of scriptures. And may I say, there are many more than those that I'm turning to today. Psalm 47. Oh, I like this. I remember back in New York, we once, the Sunday school and the young people sang this anthem. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. The Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over what? All the earth. Hasn't happened yet, but this is what the Jews were looking forward to. Now, in a sense, we look forward to it, but we look beyond the millennium, which will be eternity. But we want today to look at a few items in connection with the millennium and see what God is going to do to this earth. This earth that sin has so marred and crippled. We're going to see what God is going to do. Verse 2. The Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the peoples under us and the nations, plural, under our feet. Has that happened yet? No, but it's going to happen. In the millennium, the Lord is going to rule. He is going, his rule is not going to be a democracy. They tell me that democracy is the best form of government. I don't argue. But this is going to be a theocracy. God is going to rule. And there are some things that I like about this theocracy. Psalm 72. Verses 1 through 10. Now you may ask me, how do you know that these verses pertain to the millennium? Well, the best way to know is you'd have to read the whole chapter before and after, and then you will see where these things fit in. In some of your Bibles, the Scofield and the Ryrie, he gives headings so to get some idea that these scriptures pertain to the millennium. But read with me. Psalm 72, verse 1. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with justice. Now, I am not a politician. I'm not talking politics. But tell me, does this exist in the world today? Righteousness and judgment and justice. The mountains shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by what? Righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor. How does that make you feel? Doesn't exist today. But when my Lord sets up his kingdom and he rules, these things are going to be true. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. There is no fear of God in their hearts, we read today in the book of Romans. Men don't fear God. Some don't believe in him. Others insult him. But when he reigns, they're going to fear him. And we're going to see something real interesting when we get to that part. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days righteousness shall flourish. Won't that be nice? Righteousness, justice. And you know one thing about his righteousness? You will not be able to get a lawyer to get you off on the first amendment, and you won't be able to take the fifth. You know why? He will know all things. You remember, there were a group of people there, and he told them what they were thinking. So you're not going to get away with a thing when my Lord reigns. Righteousness. Now, this thrills me. I don't know how you feel about it. But when I see all the unrighteousness that's around, I surely long and look for the day when my Lord will reign in righteousness. And no fancy, high-paid lawyer will get you off. Righteousness. How does it make you feel? It isn't always going to be this way. Let's read on. He, verse 8, shall have dominion from sea to sea, from river unto the ends of the earth. Well, they talk about one world. Back there, I think it was around 1914, they brought into being the League of Nations. See, get all the world. And that didn't work. And now we have the UN, and that is not working. You know when there's going to be one world? When my man reigns. To me, that's something to look forward to. How do you feel about it? Verse 9. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. Well, there are going to be people there that don't like him. But not be able to do anything about it. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. When my Lord reigns. You know what, another nice thing? I am going to be there with him reading. How about you? Anybody? Nobody here? We're all going to be there reading with him. Won't be that? Be great. Real nice. Isaiah 9 and 7. In his reign there is going to be justice and righteousness. Isaiah 9 and 7, we know this well. Let's start at verse 6. And this we know well. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Why does it read that way? Why doesn't it say the son is born and the child is given? That's homework. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And I have it on good authority that the two words can go together. Wonderful Counselor. He's going to be a wonderful counselor when he reigns. I have all kinds of counselors today. I've never seen so many counselors, and things get worse. Marriage counselors, premarital counselors, child counselors, all kinds of counselors, and things are getting worse. But he's going to be a wonderful counselor. If you want to know anything, go to him for advice. The Mighty God. Now notice this next expression. The Everlasting Father. Our brother here has the Darby. Well, you only have the New Testament. Check it when you go home in the Darby. You know what the translation of Darby is? Not Everlasting Father. The Father of Everlasting. Now when did Everlasting start? Well, he's the father of it. You talk about going to school and learning. You learn more from the Bible than you learn from some of these schools. The Father of Eternity. And that's the one that's going to be ruling and reigning. Of the increase, verse 7, of his government and peace. Notice that, government and peace. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. My Lord is going to get this earth straightened out. He's going to straighten it out. Don't be too upset by what you see. Just live for the Lord. He's going to straighten out all the evils and all the wrongs, all the injustice. And there's plenty of it in this world. Chapter 11, please. Verses 4 and 5. Still speaking about the millennial kingdom. With righteousness shall he judge the poor. Are the poor treated righteously these days? And I'm not a politician. I'm not criticizing the government. I'm just asking a question. When my Lord comes, he's going to, with righteousness, judge the poor, reprove equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall slay the wicked. Oh, my Lord. All these fellas going around here shooting and cutting up and beating up. The Lord is going to take care of them. Righteousness, verse 5, shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. A righteous reign when my Lord rules in the millennium. And I'm going to be there. Now, let's read the next verse. Oh, I like this. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb. Farmers won't have to put them any more enclosures to keep the wolf out. The wolf and the lamb are going to lie down together. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. Oh my. Look at the last clause. A little child shall lead them. There's Ruthie. There's John. Where's Rebecca? Where's Katie? A little child shall lead the lions. Well, this is going to be something. You won't put the lions in zoos. You won't put the wolves in zoos. There are a couple of bears, no, three bears, they tell me, roaming around. And they advise that if you see the bears, don't go near them, and don't go between the cub and her mother. When my Lord reigns, a little child can go and pat the mother on the back. Do you believe this? We have these little children here. Imagine these little children. Mommy, can I go out to play? Yes, but when you go out, don't hurt the lion. Sounds like a joke, doesn't it? But that's what the Bible says. Yeah, we'll keep on. Let's look at some more. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. Zephaniah 3 and 9. Then in his reign will I turn to the people a pure language. You don't hear much pure language today, do you? A pure language. A language that glorifies God. People aren't going to be going around taking the Lord's name in vain and using other profane language when he reigns. And we're going to see, if we get to it today, what's going to happen if you refuse. He's going to take care of you. Isaiah 2 and 4. The millennium, the rule and reign of the Lord. Isaiah 2 and 4. He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. I'll read with, read. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. You know, I'm very interested, and I look at the news. I like to see what's going on. And there's certain commentators I like to listen to, and one station in particular, WETA Channel 26, in the evening on the Lara program. Anybody else listen to that? Very informative. I find a funny thing. They're talking peace, 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 but they're building arms, arms, arms. What are the arms for? You don't get peace with arms. But when my Lord reigns, all the arms are going to be turned into plowshares and pruning hooks. I'm going to take all those arms and use them for farm instruments. When my Lord reigns. Micah chapter 4. You can read the same thing. Micah chapter 4. Verse verses 3 and 4. He, my Lord, who will be ruling in righteousness. You don't have to be worried about an unjust judge. Some of these fellows on the bench, you wonder, are they unjust or they just don't have any sense? Some of the things they say. Micah chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. He, my Lord, shall judge among many people, rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. We read it twice. When God says it once, that's enough. When he says it twice, be very careful. This is going to be. Well, let me go. Oh my. Isaiah 65. We have a lot of trouble today with health care, don't we? And that's what we can't get these presidential candidates to straighten out. What are you going to do about health care? Medicare and Medicaid and HMOs and all the rest of them. You see how nice the Bible is? Everything is taken care of. It's all in here. All the answers are in here. You've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. You remember some time back there was a certain tomato paste. Apparently it came out new, and they were advertising this tomato paste, and this man was over here. It's so-so in it, it's in it. It's so-so in it, it's in it. It's in it. Everything is in it. All that you want to know is in this book. The trouble is we don't read it. We don't study it. We don't stay with it. We read too fast. What was that lady's name with that speed reading? Evelyn Wood Speed. Don't speed read the Bible. You speed read the Daily News, the comics, but don't speed read this. I think it's Darby that said, every word is important, including the punctuation. And that's what you have to be careful of with a lot of these new versions. Even the punctuation, they place in the wrong place to give a different meaning. But Isaiah 65 and 20, did I say? Let's look at that. See what my Lord is going to do about the health. 65 and 20. Healthcare. In the millennium. There shall no more hence be an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. The child shall die at 100 years. The sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And we work on all kinds of things to keep people living longer. And if a man lives to be 100 years and dies, he's considered something's wrong. He should live longer. That's real health care, isn't it? That's genuine health care. 35, Isaiah, verses 5 and 6. Well, the time is almost up. Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6. Oh, this is nice. Everybody have it? Let's all read. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Do they do that today? The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. We don't need any hearing aid. He's going to unstop the deafness. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, an antelope. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. There will be no more deaf and dumb people. In the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. There will be no more desert. No more Sahara desert. Isn't this something to look forward to? And remember, this isn't the end. No, no. We're going on to eternity. This is just for another 1,000 years. And then we're going to our real. Because You get in Psalm 2, I didn't turn to it. The Lord is going to rule with a rod of iron. But you know when we get to heaven, nobody's going to rule. God is going to dwell. You know how it is in your home? You dwell in your home. And in eternity, in heaven, we are going to dwell. God is going to dwell with us. There'll be no rule. We'll be what we should be. Now, let me see. Chapter 35, we're right there. Verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to the desert, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. No more desert. No more Sahara. No more drought. It'll be wonderful. Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9. Where the earth is going to be so verdant, it's amazing what's going to happen. Amos 9 and verse 13. Behold, I wait for everybody. 9 and 13. This is good. Brother Jeff, I might have done something wrong here. Can you still hear me? All right. 9, did I say, and 13. Amos. Behold, the days come, says the Lord. The Lord says this. The plowman shall overtake the reaper. The treader of grapes, him that soweth the seed. The mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. The farm problem will be taken care of. And things are going to grow so fast that by the time you reap, the other fellow is ready to sow. That's what this verse says. Isaiah again, please. 11. Well, we did read this, but I'm going to read it again. And as I read this, think of those three bears that may be out here. And they tell you if you see the bears, don't go between mom and daughter or mom and cub, and get away as fast as you can. And if they come near to you, make a lot of noise to scare them off. I'm going to read this again. I like this. Isaiah 11 verse 6. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. We spoke about that. The cow and the bear shall feed. Wouldn't have to worry about those bears out there if the cow and the bear were feeding. But it's going to be. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion, my. He's going to eat straw like the ox. And when I mentioned to you about these little children going out to play, read the next verse. The suckling child shall play on the hole of the ass. That is a snake. and the weaned child shall put his head on the cockatrice's den. That's another type of snake. So when the child goes out, we'll say, mommy will say, now, don't upset the snake. Leave him alone. Don't put your hand in the hole. Let him be at peace. That's what this verse tells us. So many of you look so surprised, as if you don't believe me. But go home and read it and tell me what you think it means. My Lord is going to have all things under control. Now it's time to stop. What about education? Difficult problem today, isn't it? That's why we have so many homeschools. And I have observed one thing about homeschools over the years. All of those children read well and with comprehension. And many of them don't do that in the public schools, not even in the parochial schools. But what about education? Chapter 11 again in Isaiah. Verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. How's that? That's real knowledge. And you won't have to worry about these educators taking the Bible out of school and taking prayer out of school and putting evolution into the school. You won't have to worry about that. The earth is going to be full of the knowledge of God. Now, I can't take the time. I'd like to do it, but it's about time for us to stop. Tell me this. Do you think that everybody is going to be happy at this time and serve the Lord gladly? Oh, no. We won't turn to it now, but I'll just tell you. There are going to be some people who are going to bow to the Lord because they have to. He's ruling with a rod of iron. But they are feigning obeisance, feigning obedience. That is why at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be able to gather a number of people in his army to fight against the Lord Jesus. 1,000 years of peace, and they still are against the Lord Jesus Christ. Man must be a terrible... Sin is a terrible thing, isn't it? 1,000 years of proper rule, and still you're going to fight the man that's ruling. That's the way it will be. But we must stop here, and in the will of the Lord, we'll continue on Wednesday. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence. We give thee thanks that we can come apart in this fashion, first to remember the Lord, and then to be taught from his word. As we look to the future, we see a bright future for thy people. Meanwhile, our prayer is that men and women, close relatives, will take the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We ask thy blessing now as we depart. Take us home in peace and safety, and keep us and bring us back again, we pray, according to thy will, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.